This is the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, and as you can hear, I am sick as a dog. Therefore, we will not be doing a show this week. We will, however, be recapping the top 10 moments of this year's show. And I'm going to go get a warm compress on my head and some Tylenol. Enjoy. Number 10, just what is Stick and Hack?
First of all, who are we? Like, what are we going to be doing here on the show? I think that's important for everyone to know. Our job here on the program is to bring you the humor, bring you the lifestyle, bring the world of golf, the exciting world of golf, that's not the nitty-gritty tips and tidbits and instructions and all that stuff, and not the sophomoric people burning golf carts in the middle of the course. Mm. We're going to be somewhere in between that, Mike. Yeah. That's the goal here, right?
Yeah.
And do you have anything that you want in the next year on this show? Is there anything you think I could teach you about golf?
No.
Good. Well, then that's going to be my life's mission to teach you something about the game of golf.
Oh, okay.
All right. Stick and Hack question from social media comes to us. What do you do when your kid is better than you at golf? Quit.
Well,
you quit the game or you force your kid into another sport. My kid will not be better at me than golf. That's stone cold.
I'm already better than my dad, so we could probably bring my dad on and ask him how he feels about that.
You
should.
You weren't, but wasn't he a 5 handicap?
He was. Okay. He's not now.
Well, he's older. Yeah. So cut him a break. Give him a chance.
Not my problem.
No, if your kid, I think the question comes because his kid is like 9 10.
Well, if your 9-year-old's beating you,
right.
Then you have
not
bigger
your,
issues.
Your grown son.
You've got bigger problems if your 9-year-old's beating you.
You're younger. The question
maybe
was,
you don't. You might have, maybe you've got the next tiger on your hands.
Right. The question was, what is it like to have your son as the stick in the family and the kid's 7 or 8 years old?
Right.
Now, it's obviously a tongue-in-cheek question, but I think it's accurate that sometimes your kid just has that raw talent in a game that you love but just can't play. And it would frustrate me, quite frankly.
I'm sure,
you know,
sure would.
as a subpar player, that would bother me.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like.
Okay,
having no children. Just,
I thought you meant being a subpar player. Humble train had left the station.
That too. But.
Number 9, is it Evian or Evian? The Evian Championship frustration.
What's wrong? What'd you call it?
What did you call it?
It's Evian. What did you say?
Evian.
It's Evian.
Okay. Well, I have a cousin named Evian. No, her name is just Eve. It's not even a cousin. It's my niece.
Oh.
Now that I think about it. I'm wrong on all accounts. It doesn't matter. The LPGA tournament over the weekend, it was the 5th major. I do know that much.
Yep.
Is it the water?
Yes.
Well, what the hell? I don't know. My God, there's a Corn Fairy. Do you know what Corn Fairy is?
You are the host of the most sophisticated golf show in the planet.
Right. Free world.
Well, whatever.
Right. All right. So anyway, the water tournament at the LPGA.
Yeah.
Alexi Thompson, who missed the cut, who's one of the top stars in the LPGA and fantastic golfer, fantastic role model. She's awesome and she's great for the game. But she made some disparaging comments to the course, or about the course and to the tournament, that it was not set up properly for any game, let alone her game. She missed the cut, and she was frustrated with it and thought it was ridiculous. And this has been going on for years at this tournament, that they make the course almost impossible for people to play. Now, she has since retracted those comments and said, actually, I took my bad game and I took it out on the course, which we all do. Is that a big deal?
And, it happens. Everybody, any golfer, and especially any good golfer, you have a bad round and you're frustrated. I'm sure somebody stuck a microphone in front of her face and she wasn't happy about the round she had, so she spoke her mind, and sometimes that's not the best idea, but people are going to speak their mind. I'd rather people speak their mind anyways, personally, but
right.
The sponsors, I'm sure, didn't like it, and that's why she came out with the retraction.
Number 8, the fine art of putting. There are training aids now that have actual like mirrors and these prisms and these things that you can use. Are those helpful if putting is a weak spot in your game, which in most it is, i.e. DeChambeau?
It might be. For me personally, I actually take a little bit different approach to putting. And that is, I think people don't focus enough on hand-eye coordination with putting. It's like playing pool or darts or anything that's like hand-eye coordination, you should be concentrating on getting your hands to hit the ball where your eyes are looking. And to me, that's the – there aren't a lot of tools that can train that other than, you know, just visualizing the line that you're trying to hit the – that you're trying to hit the ball on. But for me personally, I – a lot of what I do with – but like practicing putting is I'm trying to make sure that I'm hitting the spot that I'm, that is my line, that my line's on.
And that's the other thing too, that, and not to turn this into a lessons, discussion, but I think it's important to know if you are practicing and you're trying to get better, that the, all the science, data points, technology, all of that, you can throw that out the window and you can just pick a spot and then hit to it.
Right.
And, but most players don't pick that spot. They pick the line. They
kind of look at, they're looking at a general area. They're not really trying to pick out a specific point to hit. And it's, that's part of the problem I think a lot of people run into is they're not really focusing on a point. They're
in what about that point right in front of, like maybe a foot in front of you?
Yeah, that makes it easier because you're not trying
to. So explain
that. So if you're trying to, hit a point that's further away from you as opposed to closer to you, your hand-eye coordination is going to be able to hit that line that's closer to you than the one that's further away most of the time.
Number 7, Dr. Chelsea Day and the psychology of golf. So the time between shots is important because they're in their own head. And this is what people say all the time. Get out of your own head. Stop thinking, right? But golf is a game of thinking. You think your way around the course. You think your way through your swing. Sometimes you think your way through different shots and what you want to accomplish, how you want to get it done. And you also think about the double bogey you just had, and now you have to get off that train. You think about what your score will be. Mm-hmm. Hacks do this all the time. honest to God, on the 11th hole, I'm doing quick math.
Yeah.
If I bogey every hole the rest of the round, I still don't do this, right? Or I will do this. It seems impossible for a thinking man's game to not think.
If you think about the right stuff.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about strategy. We're thinking about where we want to put the ball, or we should be thinking about where am I going to put this ball? Not all of the tedious details. You should be making no adjustments. You come in with what you've got. So you do what you're supposed to do. You stick to the game plan regardless. We often think about what not to do. So don't hit it over here. That's where the ball goes because that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're looking at.
98% of the time.
Yeah, for sure. So it's thinking about the right stuff. You have to think strategically, not emotionally.
Number 6, professional golfer Patrick Sullivan. You are a professional golfer, and you have been doing this for a long, long time. And I think it's fascinating. Mike and I were talking earlier that just the grind of a PGA professional, whether you're in the Korn Ferry Tour, whether you're in the mini tours, whether you're in the PGA, your job doesn't change. You still have to go out and play golf every single stinking day. And for us, that sounds like the dream. For most people out there, that sounds like the dream. What's the reality?
The reality is, you play golf every day, but it's not, you're not out drinking with your buddies, listening to music. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of early mornings, really early mornings. A lot of time alone on the road. I was on the road by the end of this year. I'll be on the road over 30 weeks.
Wow.
On the road.
Yeah. And that's a long week. You're Thursday through Sunday if you make the cut, right?
Yeah. Your travel day is on Monday. Yeah. And you make the cut, you're playing to Sunday. You're not home at all I went like 8 or 9 straight weeks without even being home. There's a lot of one moment stands out. I remember playing in Alexandria, Louisiana, and you're staying at the Motel 6 there. You're just trying to save money.
Yep.
And I remember I got woken up at like 4:30 something in the morning by the room next to me. The guy's beating on the door because apparently his wife's cheating on him with another guy. And they end up getting into a fight and like breaking the glass next door. Luckily I teed off early. That was my wake up call. And it's just like, all right, let's go play golf now.
All right.
Number 5 in the Stick and Hack top 10 of the first 10, the ultimate golf vacation. Ultimate golf vacation for you, Stick, the foursome. Who do you got?
Oh, man.
And where do you go?
Yeah. It's got to be my, well, my dad's got to be in there.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, whatever. my dad's got to be in there. I would love to go on a golf vacation with Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
Likes to play golf.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mike Ryan Sr.
I feel like he would attract a certain crowd that would be exciting.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think we all know what that means. All right. So you got Mike Ryan Sr. and you've got JT. And,
yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
Who else?
Man. Gotta go TW. Go Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just pretend you said my name.
No.
Next.
You're not in that foursome.
For me, you want to know what mine is?
Sure.
This is simple.
Okay.
Because I wrote it down.
All right.
Bill Burr.
Okay.
I had Brad Pitt, but I crossed it out and I put George Clooney. Because I think he would be cooler to talk to and
be
around.
Do they even play golf?
Don't care.
Okay.
I don't think that was part of the requirement.
All right, fine.
And then I have Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Shock of the year.
Bill Burr.
Do you know him?
Yeah. I know exactly who he is.
Oh, my God. He's fantastic. I think he'd be great. I think he would not. I don't think he'd fit with that group.
He'd be fantastic, but.
I'm riding the cart with Bill.
Yeah, you would all hate Bill by the end of it. He would piss everyone off in that foursome.
Good. It wouldn't be me for once.
True.
So that works out perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. He would find a way.
All right. So where would I go? Where would you go?
I would probably do, for me, it'd have to be like probably Pebble Beach.
Yeah. I'd go to. Ireland. I'd go overseas.
Yeah, maybe I'd do. Yeah. France. Yeah, that'd be a close.
Pebblebrook. Ooh. That's quite a golf vacation. Man, that's an
exotic locale for us.
Get an opportunity.
No one else will know that unless they're from Central Indiana.
Yeah, if they're from 5 mile radius, they'll think that's funny. Otherwise, they will not. Number four, Josh Morris of GolfHistoryToday.com.
Is there a moment when you would say we started to see golf come into the mainstream? Do you think it was it when Jack and Arnie were starting to become popular, or was it more when Tiger came into popularity? When would you say that we've started to see golf come more into the mainstream? Because for a long time it was just really like kind of the game for the upper class, and I feel like it's become more of a mainstream thing probably in the last 30 years.
Definitely. You know, there's been a bunch of personalities throughout the years that have been able to make golf mainstream. I mean, I, as a, you know, lover of the facts, golf historian, I like looking back at Walter Hagen, Gene Sarazen, Bobby Jones. They made it popular in the 1920s and 30s during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's just like you noted, it wasn't really a game for everyone then.
Right.
But then there's Arnold Palmer that came around. And I think he came in, Arnie, Jack, Gary Player, they came at a perfect time when golf was just starting to be televised on a regular basis. And it started expanding. The coverage started expanding. And
yeah.
Arnold Palmer himself, he was lovable. He had the blue collar work ethic, handsome features, and he just showed up at a perfect time for golf history.
Number three, Stick and Hack, explain the handicap situation. So that's the new rule. So you only need three rounds. You have the maximum index now at 54. Now here's where it gets a little dicey. Okay.
Yep.
This is John Nash territory here. If you post six scores in the 100s,
yep.
When you're normally an 80s shooter, you're going to run into what's called the soft cap. So if your handicap decreases and gets worse.
No.
What do you mean no?
Wrong. Increases. If your handicap gets worse,
right,
it's increasing.
Okay. What did I say?
You said decreases.
Right. The number decreases.
No, it doesn't. If your handicap's getting worse, it's getting higher.
Okay. It's decreasing in the numeric value.
No, it's going up.
Right. But if you have a one, if you have a one.
I cannot believe we're having this conversation.
Couldn't agree more. If you have a one on the board, put a one at the very top of the wall. Okay?
Yep.
Now, if you increase, you're going to negative.
No.
Yes, you are.
Negative one is less than one.
I agree with that. That you and I agree on. But you're increasing.
No, you're not. Right, it's going up.
Okay. What is the rule? If you post six scores, so I just have to change a word. That's what you're saying. This is what this whole argument's about.
Yes.
This is you yelling
at
me.
Your handicap is going up.
You yelling at me is about me just changing a mistake I made.
No, you didn't make
have
it.
Made
it's
a mistake?
Not a mistake. It's not. This is not a typo. This is literally a philosophical
point.
All right, fine. Number two, guest Thomas Malchow from TrainFully.com. Thomas Malchow is with us from TrainFully.com. He is a golf fitness specialist. And, you know, for me, I'm convinced that I have never fully understood how hard the golf swing is on the body until I started seeing people get hurt. And you start hearing about injuries. And Mike, you know, you hear someone injured in golf. And unless you play golf, you go, are you for real?
Right.
Your wrist hurts.
Yeah, I know.
Just put ice on it and we'll see you out there, right?
Yeah.
But for you, you know how hard the golf swing is when you're a good player and you're doing everything right, how hard it is on the body.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of torque on your back, you know, specifically your wrists. And if you don't have good technique, you're just putting added pressure and exposing yourself to injury. So
Thomas, how hard is the golf swing really on the body and from a scientific perspective?
It uses up a lot of your capacity, and how much capacity it uses up depends on the person, right? And this brings us back to our conversation about how you prepare, right? So there's three main areas that the golf swing is hard on your body, or three main ways. One, you're slamming your joints into end range and you're doing so at a very high velocity, right? So if you don't have precise arthrokinematics, that is, if your joints don't line up correctly and don't move efficiently, then there's going to be wear and tear as you move through your swing sequence, and you're going to use up a lot of your capacity there, right? Another area that's of concern is the moment of impact. At the moment of impact, there's roughly 200 pounds of sheer force going through your L4, L5 vertebrae, right? Now, your body has the architecture to counteract that force, but that architecture depends on you being in good posture at impact. So if you have a sloppy posture, if you have a crunch factor or lateral flexion in your spine at impact, that's, again, using up a lot of your capacity. And the third area is how you prepare. And this brings us back to the conversation about, you know, if you prepare incorrectly, that can be just as harmful or more harmful than not preparing at all. If you spend time in the gym preparing, but instead of building up your capacity by working on your posture and your movement, instead of doing that, you were doing squats and deadlifts and Russian twists and using your capacity, then you have less capacity to deal with factors one and two, yeah. Right? And so it is harmful. It does use up your capacity, but if you prepare correctly, it's not really an issue you need to worry about.
Thomas just said three things I've never heard of in my life: squats, presses, and Russian twists. Is that something you get at Taco? Can I get that at Taco Bell? What the hell are you talking about? Russian twists. And number one, top 10 of the first 10 pro golfers take an anonymous golf.com survey. A anonymous pro survey from golf.com. 20% or 1 in 5 pros said they have either smoked pot or ingested edibles in the last year. Additionally, more than half of them said marijuana should be removed from the tour's banned substance list.
I believe that. I think it's high. I think 20% is low.
Yeah, there's nothing for sure. Nothing shocking about that.
No.
At all. 20% has smoked pot or ingested edibles in the last year. That is probably low. And even though it's anonymous, that's still something that you can't maybe bring yourself to say, yeah, I've done right. That. When asked who their least favorite playing partner was, 26% said anyone who plays slowly, but the most common answers were Rory Sabatini, who I didn't realize was still alive, let alone playing golf, and your friend Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And that was 100%
said. Neither of those surprised me.
So Rory is he just kind of a jerk, isn't he?
He's notoriously just kind of a dick.
Yeah. And Bryson is just super slow and weird, right?
Yes.
The scientist.
Yes. And he wears a weird hat.
All right. So 26% said anyone who plays slowly. Again, I think that's low as well. Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so that's the anonymous pro survey from golf.com. What would be a question that you would want on that survey if you were putting it on there? What would you want to know from them that is anonymous for all time? There's got to be something that you would ask them.
How many times have you played drunk?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be one I'd like to know.
There's a bunch of those stories of people that either drunk or hungover and yeah. and had like incredible rounds. I mean, that's yeah. something that a hack yeah. can rely.
Well, we just featured a story about that on our daily email.
Oh, yeah.
About MJ.
Yeah, the early tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael. Oh, that's right. Michael Jordan was yeah. Drinking most of the day.
Yeah.
And then went to and played against who was it?
He bet Jeremy Roenick.
Jeremy Roenick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. This is Michael Jordan Day here on the Stick and Hack Show. Apparently,
it is.
He bet Jeremy Roenick in 36 holes, lost thousands of dollars, and they yeah. drank most of the day. And then he went to a game that night. This is 1994. 90.
And he bet him he would score over 40 points and that they would win by more than 20.
Right.
And he scored 52 and they won by 26. and that's why he's the GOAT.
That's right. Who is the most famous person in your phone? Now, a normal person, the most famous person in my phone is you.
I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, yes. Look at us. This is our first connection, finally, in 10 episodes.
It's a sad statistic for both of us. That's the worst. That's the worst.
Yeah. Right. Well, who's the best person on your phone? Well, yeah. my co-host. So they're the most famous person in the phone, six players named Michael Jordan as yeah. the most famous. And that's a tall order.
That'd be like bucket list for me.
Yeah, yeah. Just to have him in your phone.
Have him in my phone.
Right. Would you? I bet you'd text me in the middle of the night. You up?
I would. I would. Yo, MJ.
You
what's
up?
What's happening?
Stick and Hack Nation, stay with us in 2020 for new guests, new topics, and entertaining content from the greatest game in the world and the greatest golf podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Yep, still sick.